And tonight we will do the final chapter of NTI. NTI Revelation chapter 22, which is on page 489. Then the angel showed me the water of the river of life, clear as crystal, flowing from God and through God, and I was not apart from its flow. I was within its flow, and I was a part of its flow, and its flow came from me. I saw that the flow which comes from God is everything, and all that is a part of its flow. So what I perceive in this paragraph is that separation now has been just completely dissolved as an idea. You know, it's so interesting that I'm going to say John, that John is saying, I was within its flow, I was a part of its flow, and its flow came from me. I mean, there's no separation in that, right? None whatsoever. And then he also says that he saw that the flow came from God, that the flow that comes from God is everything, and all that is a part of the flow. And this is what NTI Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2 were about. And what's happening here, the reason I'm saying John is because John is the one who wrote the book of Revelation. So it's just the character that shows up in my mind when he's saying I. You know, I don't know for a fact that John was the voice of Revelation or anything like that. But I have to put a name to that I, so I'm putting the name John here. And you know, it seems that John here is saying, you know, everything has shifted. Everything has shifted. I am just not at all seeing like I was. All I can see is God, and it's all in me, and I am all of it. And, you know, he's just really trying to express this new vision, which has no separation in it at all. You know, he can't find separation no matter where he looks. It continues. The tree of life is symbolic of the eternity that is. No one must eat from the tree of life or sit within its shade in order to gain eternal life. Eternal life already is and always has been, for this is the truth of life. The tree of life never dies and never changes, although its leaves dance in the wind. This is the symbol of creation, and creation is what you are. So when he talks about the leaves dancing in the wind, what he's saying is, you know, the tree is constant, but the leaves dancing in the wind represents the changing appearances that we experience. You know, like if we look at the world, it'd be foolish to say at the level of appearance there's no change. Every moment is actually different. We don't even capture all of the change in our perception because our memory tells us things are the same. Some things are the same, like Francine is always Francine and Dan is always Dan. And so because our memory tells us, oh, you know, they're always who they are, we can not pay quite so much attention to them, and we don't even notice how in this moment, like Francine's earrings are jiggling. You know, that wasn't happening a moment ago. I mean, there's always change, right? And we kind of numb ourselves to the change, but with memory and by assuming things are the same. So the leaves dancing in the wind, that's that constant change. But think about how small the leaves are compared to the whole tree, right? Compared to that strong trunk and those strong branches, right? So this tree of life has, and it's well rooted, right? This tree of life has always been here. It's very, very steady. It never dies, it never changes, you know, even though its leaves are dancing in the wind. So the tree of life represents the truth. Verses 3 to 6. When your eyes are opened, they shall not close again. For when you see, you will not choose to forget. what you have seen. These words are trustworthy and true. Only the truth is true. All else is illusion. So again, once awakening to truth happens, you know, who really knows why we chose to forget? You know, there are metaphysical stories, and NTI has its own metaphysical story. And in NTI's metaphysical story, we chose to forget the truth because we wanted to experience something other than truth. But what this is saying is once you've had that experience and you reawake to truth, that curiosity is completely resolved and you are not going to go back again. You know, once you've had that curiosity resolved, you now stay awake to truth. Verses 7 to 9. What does it mean to worship God? It means to be grateful for all that you are and to seek no change from it. And that's a pretty interesting line, too. If you remember NTI Romans 2, it says the curiosity that started the entire dream was what would it be like if things were different than they are? And this is saying once you're awake, again, that curiosity is completely resolved. You don't want the truth to be any different than it is. You want it to be exactly as it is. And that is really worshiping God, to have gratitude for the truth exactly as it is and to no longer have a wish for difference. Verses 10 to 11. Seek not to change that which you see, for that is the desire that you be different. Accept all that you see in glory and rejoicing, for that which you see is the mark of heaven. So now it sounds as if he's talking from an awakened state to those of us who are not yet in the awakened state. And he's giving advice. He's giving spiritual practice. And his spiritual practice is love everything that you see exactly as it is. Don't ask anything or anyone to be any different than they are. And like I said a few weeks ago, this is like Michael Langford's loving all method, which he also teaches. But he says if you can't love it, accept it. And if you can't accept it, allow it. And I think it's nice to have those extra instructions because sometimes things happen that we just can't find love. You know, we just can't. But maybe you can accept, yes, that's happening. And if you can't even accept it, well, then you can at least allow it. Do not worry that the mark is not the mark that you expect. Except it is from heaven, and you shall learn to see the mark differently. In the line above, he had said, accept all that you see in glory and rejoicing, for that which you see is the mark of heaven. And there's no exception. That means every single appearance that we see on earth, and maybe someday on Mars, because they're talking about going to Mars, right? Everything, every single appearance that we see is the mark of heaven. And it may not be what we expect, you know, like war, people who are hungry, disease, mental illness. You know, we don't expect these things as the mark of heaven. It says don't worry about that. Accept that it is from heaven and you'll learn to see differently. And again, the way that you learn to see, when you learn to see differently, is you learn to see that every appearance here is being created through absolute freedom. Right? Absolute freedom. In other words, maybe we are waking up to the truth and to acceptance, but there's still a whole lot of souls here playing the game. You know, you can watch them play the game even with just the Republican presidential candidates. You know, you can see them playing the game, right? The whole world's playing that game. And that's what's causing the appearances. But you learn to see it as that. You learn to see it as the game being played, right? And that's a much more benign way of seeing things. It's just the game being played, and then you remember that you have chosen you don't want to play that game anymore. And you learn to abide in truth or abide in the resting mind. Right? Abide in the resting mind. Verses 12 to 13. Behold, I am coming soon is only a reminder. Those words are from Revelation chapter 22. Behold, I am coming soon is only a reminder. When you have forgotten and become lost within an image of what you are not, remember this statement, "Behold, I am coming soon," and choose to see clearly again. So, "Behold, I am coming soon," you'll want to see that as clarity speaking to you. Whenever you are in confusion or fear or something like that, you can remember, "Behold, I am coming soon. Clarity is returning. This confusion, this fear is only temporary," right? "Behold, I am coming soon. Clarity will return." Everyone experiences according to his choice, because you are the one who chooses. Again, this is a very important lesson that we want to remember. It is great to have spent 3¾ years studying NTI together. But if we walk out of here and go right back to victim, blame, you know, all of those other habits, we might as well have just not spent 3¾ years studying this book. We have to remember that we are always choosing our experience. And that doesn't mean that we're making the form. This is where people get confused. It doesn't mean we're making the form as an individual. The way the form appears comes from the wholeness, right? But we are choosing how we want to experience that form. We're experiencing that form through our ego, our judgment, or we're experiencing that form through our rested mind, and then through any inspiration or clarity that arises in that rested mind. Those are your choices. And so what you want to ask yourself is, how do you want to experience? And if you find yourself getting annoyed, for example, pause, look at your thoughts. Notice these thoughts. You know, I'm sitting here right now saying he should be different than he is. That's why I'm annoyed. Not because of how he's being, but because I'm judging how he's being, right? And then you can take it back and you can rest your mind, and your experience changes immediately, right? Your experience changes immediately when you let go of that judging. So remember that you are always choosing your experience. And if your experience is not one of happiness of some form or another, then look and see what it is that you've slipped into. What kind of thinking have you slipped into that's causing a different experience right now? Verses 14 to 15. Inside the inner chamber of your heart, you shall find and know your truth. It is not foreign to you. It is all that you are. When you seem locked outside the light of the heart, do not fear to choose again. Rest and trust that your heart beckons to you. As you listen, you shall be drawn to it. As you listen, it shall come to you. So, most of us are still going to have times when we do get involved in listening to our mind, and we go down some, as the Course would call it, descent into hell. We go down some descent into hell. And what this is saying is, when that happens, remember that you're not locked outside the light of the heart because of any reason other than you got caught up listening to your thoughts again. So choose again. Start resting the mind. You know, trust that you're innocent, or whatever it is that you need to trust in order to allow yourself to shift. And I love this. It says, as you listen, meaning to your own heart, you shall be drawn to it. As you listen, it shall come to you. That reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, because when that son decided to start home, his father ran out to meet him, right? So, you know, you don't have to travel all the way from the wrong mind to the heart. You just have to begin the trip. The heart's going to come and greet you and help you, right? Your truth is your foundation, and in your foundation you find your strength. Let all else fade away, and a new house shall be built from the true foundation of light. Again, let all else fade away is reminding us to rest the mind. Whenever we're thinking about anything that is not truth, rest and let it fade away. Rest and let it fade away. Verse 17. Come, The call is within you and the door is open. Come and thirst no more. Come and see that you are the river of life. Put aside all fear and listen only to the voice of love. Recognize your true voice and follow it to the recognition of you. He who listens will surely hear. He who comes will know. All will come, as none are to be left out. This is the word of God. Amen. And that's the end of NTI. Any comments? So next week we will begin the teachings of Inner Ramana, and the teachings of Inner Ramana really starts where NTI left off. So NTI, as we were ending NTI, it was really focusing on the fact, even though it was throughout the entire book, because now the scribe Regina is finally hearing it, it's really focusing on the fact at the very end that thinking is the problem. And that the answer is to rest your mind from thinking. And so that's exactly what Inner Ramana really emphasizes and really teaches us how to do, is how to rest our mind from thinking. That's the primary objective of Inner Ramana. So it's a perfect follow-on. All right, so I guess I will stop the recording. And by the way, thank you guys for hanging out with me while we did NTI for 3¾ years.